Blog Talk Radio.
Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Nothing can stop me. I'm all the way up.
Hello, everyone, and welcome once again. I'm back. Hey, guess who this is? You know who this is. This is JT, a.k.a. The Master, and this is The Master Plan. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. I say that again. It's 347-637-3220 is the place to be if you want to talk to him, JT, The Master, and you know that would be me. Got a great show in store for you today. Haven't been around for a while on any of the shows. And, but I promise we'll do better. Quite naturally, you hear me on The Master Plan today. We will be back on the FSP Cruise Show on the 23rd of February, starting on the 23rd of February again, at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on a Thursday night. And quite naturally, on a Saturday, I know Mr. FSP, Vic Gardner, hasn't been around, but we will be broadcasting a show Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, next Saturday, which would be the 27th, if I'm not mistaken. Today is the 20th. No, the 19th. So Saturday would be the 25th, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, Saturday would be the 25th. And so we will be on the FSP show on Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And on the FSP Cruise Show, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on a Thursday night. Quite naturally, next Sunday will be the last Sunday of February. Unbelievable that this year will be, as of next Sunday, will be the last Sunday in February. Wow. Time flies when you had it. Before you know it, NFL Combine will be around. That starts at March 3rd or whatever it is on the NFL Network. And then we have the gearing up for the NFL Draft. But they have off-season programs thing going on. A lot of things going on. I mean, you know, there's a low, a 2 or 3 week low from the Super Bowl and all the hyperbole of the Super Bowl. And then there's a nice gap in there. Everybody catches their breath, goes on vacation, do what they do when either they are playing in the Super Bowl or not playing in the Super Bowl. And then it all gears back up. And very quickly, free agency is going to be upon us in March. And let me lay this out for you, okay? Or what's going to take place and how it all is going to work out. I'm just give you bits and pieces. I'm going to give you how it's all going to break down in the next, the important dates of 2017 for the NFL. February 5th, quite naturally, you had the Super Bowl. February 28th to March 6th, I was a little off on that, is the NFL Scouting Combine. Then 9th, 3 days after the Combine, and an idea. Some of these teams have ideas of what may be available to them. NFL free agency, the old guys, not the city guys, but guys that have been in the league for a little bit are free to take their wares anywhere they're like, including re-signing with their own team. That starts March 9th. Then you have a little lull in there, about a little more than a month, almost 2 months, really. Then a NFL draft, which is going to be held this year in Philadelphia. Then the first training camp. If the Cowboys play it, which they won't. I'm not sure exactly who's playing in the Hall of Fame game, to be truthful with you. But training camp starts up around the end of, between the middle and the end of July. Yeah, believe it or not. I mean, you're going to have some off-season programs, things like that, that teams have. Training camp starts up near the end of July. And then you got the Hall of Fame. Excuse me. The Hall of Fame game, which is in August. Then you have the actual Hall of Fame, which is in August with the guys that got in called out on the NFL honors the day before the Super Bowl. And so believe it or not, there's going to be quite a few things that are going to be coming up that for those NFL enthusiasts, those NFL fans are not going to have a dull moment because it's right around the corner. You're going to have guys being signed to NFL franchise tags, or you're going to have guys being moved around. A lot of teams got quite a few teams got some money to spend. The most would be the Cleveland Browns, right behind the San Francisco 49ers. So quite naturally, those two teams are I think picking one or two, if I'm not mistaken. Plus, they have a lot of money to use in cap space. But without further ado, I see my man, my fellow FSP crew co-host, who comes on with me on Thursday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, has decided to join me for whatever amount of time he wants to. Jeff, what's up, Jeff?
Hey, Jerry. What's going on this morning?
My man, you are so, you know, you are so laid back. You're one of the most laid back guys that I know. I never see you get too high or too low, but that's okay. It's been a while since we've been on the air, so what's your thoughts on, or you have something that you want to come bring up?
That is a heck of a compliment, my friend, because, you know, I've said that, and that was an unsolicited compliment. It wasn't like I was fishing for it, because I've seen people do that. Because everybody has their own little philosophy.
Yep.
And I've told a lot of people, don't get too high, don't get too low. You know, when things are good, you know, be happy, but don't get carried away. And vice versa. You know, things are bad, it's just one day, or things are real bad, it's going to last longer than a day, of course, but don't let yourself get too down about it. And there was a movie, it wasn't that big of a movie, it's called Where the Day Takes You, and I'd been saying it before, but one of the main characters kind of gave his philosophy on life, and he just said, you know, don't get too high, don't get too low, go where the day takes you, you know, and... Mm-hmm. You know, and that was a really good movie, though. You know, a lot of – it's like an ensemble movie. A lot of – it was in the early 90s. A lot of good young actors were in that. It was about homeless kids on the street. You know, it was real serious.
Mm-hmm.
But that – I think it was Dermot Mulroney was the actor who gave that little speech. You know, he was, I think, talking to a social worker or somebody like that. And I was like, man, that guy just hit it right on the head. But also, you've never seen me ticked off when the post office messes up my mail or something like that. Because, you know, we all have our agitated moments.
Right.
And, you know, this goes way back. I've had some issues with the Postal Service, like, you don't want to know.
Okay.
I'll spare you the details. But, you know, and that's when I want to fight the power and then some. Because I also, I'm a strong believer in advocating for yourself within the, you know, proper boundaries, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, just crying about it all day, which some people will do, then not doing anything about it, that's really futile. You know, I don't like that. I missed the first few minutes. I think you're talking about life after NFL football season. And I swear, I think about this every year. A week after the Super Bowl, I think to myself, man, I wish the USFL was back. You know, or some reasonable facsimile.
Yeah.
Now, there is the Arena League. And I was a pretty big arena fan for a while. I had season tickets for a couple of years for the New Jersey team. And, you know, it started gradually, but I became a pretty big Arena League fan. But ever since they shut it down in 2009, it's never been the same. And for several reasons. Because to me, you know, they said, you know, they were working on a business model. They could have worked on the business model while playing the season because – In sports, it's implied that you play every season. Well, unless you have a big strike or something, which happened in hockey. You know, that's why they're now a distant fourth. Part of that was because of their poor labor relations. But even with the NFL, you know, yeah, sure, they had strike. They had a threatened walkout, lockout. I mean, I never remember them threatening – to close shut for a season to work on a business model. That was a huge, huge mistake. And I think one of the things that happened after that was it hurt the resale value of franchises. Cause at that point the teams weren't earning a lot of money, but at least there was manageable losses and there was good profit on the resale of franchises. Kind of like a bad piece of real estate. You know, it won't make you money, but you'll make a profit on the sale. But
mm-hmm.
once that profit on the sale was, and I'm not a business guy, but I understand this. Once, after the shutdown, the profits on the sale disappeared, and now the Arena League is, they're limping into the next season. They're down to five teams. You can't have a league with only five teams.
Wow, really?
Yeah, I mean, I still follow the league a little bit, but five teams, that's not enough. I mean, even six, at least you'd have an even number. I don't know how they're going to do it with five teams. But, you know, I guess if they got to do that for a year or two until, you know, they can get, you know, a few more, you know, teams to make it a more respectable-looking league, and I guess better a weak league than no league. But they really blew it with that league. They really blew it because I think, you know, up to 2009, it, you know, it had been slowly building. It had a little respect, but never been the same.
Okay. All right. We're gonna kick this off in a different way. But what I want to do is this, and I'm trying to get it up, is that I want to get your opinion on who is the biggest name. Now, I'm not going to say if he's a free agent right now, but who is the biggest name that may change teams, in all likelihood will change teams, in the NFL this year, in your opinion?
Ooh. Well, when you say free agent, does that include a guy who might get released from his contract?
Yes.
Because let's say, I think Tony Romo, I think, you know, the Cowboys want to do right by him. I think they would prefer to trade him. But if they trade him, the new team is on the hook for a big contract. So in that situation, a team thinks, well, he might get cut. So why, And then if he gets cut, it'll be a friendlier contract for the new team. So, you know, a guy like Tony Romo, despite his age and his injuries, you know, he plays at that position, a quarterback, so he's a very well-known guy. A lot of times in the NFL, the great players, they don't get to the last year of the contract.
Right.
Usually, I think, you know, two, maybe 1 year before it's over, they won't hit the market. You know, I mean, you know, the Giants, they let go Victor Cruz and Rashad Jennings. I mean, Victor Cruz is a bigger name, and he's a Jersey guy, so very popular with the fans here. I'd like to see him back. If he does come back, it would be at a discount. I don't think Rashad Jennings is coming back. I was not a huge fan of his. I mean, he's okay as a part-time running back or a backup, but I don't think he's that great, and he's a little injury-prone. You know, nobody jumps to mind, and I guess
well, you're right, Jeff.
JPP.
You know, don't need to go any
he
further.
JPP
because
might, I think, become available.
The biggest name, in my opinion, that and I preface it as saying that will possibly be a free agent, and that quite naturally that gave you a clue right there, because it's more unlikely that, and I'm heading toward Tony Romo. With every passing week in his rookie season, Dak Prescott seemed to get better and better. Now, since he was a fourth round draft pick, including signing bonus, this is the disparity in salaries here. Including the signing bonus last year, Dak Prescott made $833,393. Okay. And for all intents and purposes, made Tony Romo with the Dallas Cowboys obsolete. Now, Tony Romo's has a history of injury. His contract is scheduled. His scheduled cap hit for 2017 is $24.9 million. And that's clear to the Cowboys. They would have a hard time justifying Tony Romo being on the roster as a backup. I wouldn't say he's only 36 years old. He's 36 years old, but he's injury prone. He's been one of the best players in franchise history, but it's more than likely that, and with every passing moment from what I've been reading and observing on the net, that he's going to be released. Teams, eight teams that could very well want Tony Romo's services. Those eight teams, in no particular order, would be the New York Jets. And this is no order. I'm just throwing them out there. The Arizona Cardinals, believe it or not, the Miami Dolphins, Denver Broncos, which is probably highly likely, Chicago Bears, which Jay Cutler may not be long for the Chicago Bears, the Houston, my Houston Texans, who I think is a quarterback away from really being a strong contender with the defense they have and the offensive weapons they have, the Kansas City Chiefs, who are limited with Alex Smith and being able to push the ball down the field, and the Buffalo Bills. The only viable options, now I put these eight out there, but in my opinion, there are four out of those eight. Now, the other possibilities are long reaches. They have established quarterbacks in it. Miami has Ryan Tannehill, who seems to be progressively getting better. I don't know where his ceiling may be, and he's young, and he's not injury prone like Tony Romo. The Arizona Cardinals, who have a veteran quarterback and in Carson Palmer. But I think his skills are diminishing, but he's still a capable starting NFL quarterback. The Chicago Bears that may not want to go with a older quarterback because they need more help than just a quarterback, and it wouldn't behoove them, I guess, to, in my opinion, to get an injury-prone quarterback when their offensive line is not good at protecting their quarterback. The Kansas City Chiefs, who I think that even though Alex Smith is limited, that he is a more durable than Tony Romo, and they still need some help on that offensive line in protecting Alex Smith. And the Buffalo Bills, who need more than help than just a starting quarterback. So the only viable guys I see here, And I can argue about the Jets, because the Jets have offensive line issues. Their offensive line is getting older, and they may not be as they were a few years back. So the only viable options I see here, in my opinion, and I could be wrong, but from what I'm seeing here, is the Denver Broncos and the Houston Texans. There may be a surprise team out there, like maybe the San Francisco 49ers, but I can't see that. I think they're going to probably go young with Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch. Jeff, what's your thoughts on a landing spot for Tony Romo?
Yeah, I think it would be a team similar to the Jets, a team with some talent and not a team, you know, totally looking to rebuild like San Francisco. Now, it's interesting you know, I was thinking about, I mean, I haven't been doing my homework. I didn't know this would be the question this week about NFL free agents. I think Antonio Brown's contract is up. I'll tell you, looking in recent history, I'll tell you that the Steelers do a great job of drafting and developing wide receivers, and then they have to make the tough decisions on who to keep and who not to keep. I assume they're going to keep Antonio Brown because he's probably the best receiver in the NFL at this point. Hey, they had to let Emmanuel Sanders go. They had to let Mike Wallace go. When they let Mike Wallace go, I was thinking, ooh, they might regret it. But I don't think they regret it, because his career since leaving Pittsburgh, I think, hasn't been as great as some people thought it would be. When his contract was up, he was a good player, not a star. Nate Washington, they had to let him go. And he totally took the high road about that, you know, because, you know, he didn't find out about it on the internet. You know, they gave him a call and they explained the cap situation and said, you know, they regretted that they're going to have to let him go. And he said, hey, this team, you know, I think he was an undrafted free agent. They signed him. They liked him. They developed him. He got an opportunity in Tennessee. They couldn't match it. They left on good terms, you know. But, you know, you look at those guys, that's a lot of good receivers for Pittsburgh. And, some teams just, you know, like the Packers, they just really know, even in the free agent era, they really know how to draft and develop guys. And then they'll just go to the free agency for very specific needs. I don't think you could be a good NFL team without using free agency. But it's just one piece of the puzzle. You can't build your team exclusively through that. I'll tell you, San Francisco, the 49ers, that is, every year that goes by, Jim Harbaugh looks like a bigger genius. I think they're now going on their fourth head coach in 4 years, which usually with that type of instability, you're not going to win in the NFL. Don't get me wrong, I like John Lynch, but I wonder if he has the necessary experience to be a good GM. Who knows? He could be another Matt Millen. I think he's a little sharper than Matt Millen. But the fact is, you know, John Lynch, he's a great player. Obviously, he's an intelligent man, you know, graduated from Stanford. He's a good broadcaster. But still, you know, he doesn't have NFL front office experience. So,
right.
Uh, uh, I'm very curious about that hire. I mean, like I said, I like Lynch. I have nothing against the guy, but you know, you need some experience for
I don't know if you know this or not, but the San Francisco 49ers also hired Martin Mayhew, who was the GM for the Detroit Lions for a lot of years. To help John Lynch in preparing for the draft and cap and dealing with the cap and all the kind of things that are intricacies of the GM job. So I don't know how long. I know he doesn't have a 6-year contract like Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch have, but I would think that they would hire him to mentor or to give advice to John Lynch on what and how to do things at the GM. Because Mayhew did put together decent teams. Maybe they were lacking in defense, but the offensive side of the ball, he was able to put decent pieces on the field. Kyle Shanahan being an offensive guy, it would be a benefit to have somebody that can do that to help John Lynch. I think Lynch is going to be dealing with the draft and I guess cap space, and Shanahan will probably have the last say in who's on his roster. So anyway, I saw something from an odds maker in Bovado. If you ever heard of these people, I've never heard of them. But they put out a this is from courtesy of oddsharks.com. Put some odds out on where Tony Romo may land. 14-1 for the Miami Dolphins, 10-1 to the Arizona Cardinals, 8-1 to the Kansas City Chiefs. Come on, the screen's freezing up on me here. It would be 8-1 to the Dallas Cowboys, which I find it hard to believe that they'll keep him. 6-1 to the New York Jets. 6-1 also to the Buffalo Bills. 5-1, and I was surprised at this. I thought the odds would be higher of him going to Chicago. I don't know why that would be. And then it's 4-1, believe it or not, to the Houston Texans. And 2.5-1, and I think this is a consensus for a lot of people. I'm not sure about it. It all depends on if Tony wants to go to Denver or if he wants to stay in state. 2.5-1 to the Denver Broncos. Now, if he wants to stay in state, which it would be the Houston Texans. I don't know if Houston would want to take him. That would be a their team, just like the Denver Broncos, the team that's ready to win now versus developing someone with the pieces they have. Quite naturally, Brock Osweiler has been a huge disappointment. They're going to be competing in this next training camp. I'm talking about the Houston Texans. So Brock doesn't have his contract doesn't dictate that he's going to be the starter. So it's going to be very interesting, fantasy-wise and reality, where Tony Romo goes. So besides where you fall on the side of whether you like Tony Romo or not, when Tony Romo's on the field, he's a very effective quarterback. As long as you give Tony Romo the protection he needs, he can make all the throws and can do a lot of damage. But it's a matter of keeping him upright and healthy. That's the key. And unfortunately, last year wasn't the case. 2015 wasn't the case. I think 2014 was the last year that he had a full year that he balled out and was a hell of a quarterback because they kept him upright. So we'll have to wait and see where Tony Romo lands. That's going to be like I said, he looks like he may get released. And if he gets released, There's going to be teams quite naturally with a seasoned, experienced quarterback that are going to go after him. It all depends on how much of a hit, quite naturally. $24 million cap hit, 2017. Wow. That's a hell of a hit. That's a hell of a hit. Anyway, free agency, like I said, starts March 9th. Players are getting can be signed now. There's a week or two gap where you can sign your own players, if I'm not mistaken, Jeff. Then the NFL Combine starts the first week in really the first week in March. So with that being said, I got a mock draft here of where I think these teams may go in picking players in the draft that's going to take place in the later part of April in Philly. And right off the bat, the Cleveland Browns have the first pick. They got a couple picks in the first round. I think they have quite a few picks. And I'm not exactly sure how many picks they have within the first three or four rounds, but they have a plethora of picks and a hell of a lot in cap space. So in that division, this year I expect the Browns to make a substantial noise in the AFC North. They need a defensive line. They need a quarterback, and they need help on the interior offensive line. So with the first pick in the 2017 NFL draft, the Cleveland Browns are going to take the best player in the draft. And I feel, and before I announce the first pick for the Cleveland Browns, I think this draft, in my opinion, is stronger running backs, decent in wide receivers, and defensive players in all three levels in defense. Linemen, linebackers, and DBs are strong in this. The weakest part of this NFL draft, in my opinion, offensive linemen and quarterbacks. Ironically, it's on the offensive side of the ball. I think this is one of the weaker classes in quarterbacks. Quite naturally, a lot of teams, but there are going to be teams that are going to take in the first round. But I don't think there's a quarterback that's first round worthy, even though he may get picked in the first round. In most drafts, I think the quarterbacks, if they were in last year's draft or the year before, would get picked in the third or fourth round. Not even the second round, third or fourth round and beyond, versus the quarterbacks that are going to get taken in the 2017 draft. So with the first pick in the NFL draft, the Cleveland Browns, who need, like I said, help on the defensive line, will take the best player available, and the best player in the draft is Myles Garrett, a defensive end from Texas A&M, who's supposed to be bigger than Von Miller, but has Von Miller-type skills. With that being said, after that, the San Francisco 49ers have the second pick and also have the second highest cap space. Unbelievable that there's two teams, in ideal positions to make big splashes in free agency and also in the draft, because they have a high draft pick or picks and a huge amount of money available in the cap. And quite naturally, Kyle Shanahan needs a quarterback. They need defensive line and linebacker help, and they also need help on the offensive line. That's a lot of help from four different positions. That's a lot of help that they need. And it all starts with the quarterback. Now, will the San Francisco Niners take a quarterback in the first round, or will they take somebody on the defensive side of the ball? Because I don't think there's anybody on the offensive, especially early in the draft, an offensive line that you want to take. Or did you take some money on the defense? Kyle Shanahan is a offensive-minded coach, head coach. So I'm thinking, and I said it before, and I'll say it again, I don't think there's any quarterback that's first-round worthy, but there's going to be some quarterbacks taken in the first round. And with that first round pick that the San Francisco 49ers have, I think they'll take Mitch Trubisky, a quarterback out of North Carolina. I'm going to do three more picks, and then I'll get your opinion on the first five picks that I have here, Jeff. Now, the Chicago Bears have the third pick. And they need help, just like a lot of other teams that don't have a good record. Quarterback, cornerback, and offensive line. Now, I already said that I don't think there's any players here on the offensive line that are worthy of early first-round picks. So I'm discounting that they'll pick an offensive lineman. I said this is strong on defense and at all three levels. So their defensive need is a cornerback. I don't think they're going to take a cornerback in this. I think they're going to not. I wouldn't say buck the trend, that they're going to take someone that they need that can play either on the defensive tackle or in a 4-3 or a 3-4 defensive end. And I'm thinking that they'll go to the runner-up in the national championship and pick out Jonathan Allen from the University of Alabama, who can play as a defensive tackle in the 4-3 or a defensive end in the 3-4. My fourth pick is the Jacksonville Jaguars. Jacksonville still has a little bit of money in the cap because they didn't spend it all last year, but they don't have as much as the first three guys. And Jacksonville needs offensive line help, defensive line help, and they need somebody in the back end as a safety. So they'll go to the Louisiana State University and pick up Jamal Adams, a safety from LSU. And the fifth pick, who is with the Tennessee Titans, who are an up-and-coming team that needs help in the cornerback position and the wide receiver. Now, they may go to free agency and pick up a wide receiver from somewhere. And I do believe that's probably the route they're going to go, or take a wide receiver later in the draft. But I think they're going to go cornerback and go to the state of Ohio and in Ohio State and take up Marshawn Lattimore, cornerback from Ohio State. Jeff, my first five picks are in ascending order: a cornerback for the Tennessee Titans, a safety for the Jacksonville Jaguars, a defensive tackle or defensive end depending on the scheme for the Chicago Bears, a quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers, and quite naturally the number one pick, who I think is the best player, Myles Garrett, a defensive end for the Cleveland Browns. What's your thoughts?
You know, I have to admit I haven't been following the mock drafts too closely because, there's plenty of time and the combines are very important. And it's not just who can run the fastest. It's, who's prepared. Who's
right.
Mature, who's professional,
mm-hmm.
et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'll tell you, someone might do it, but, it doesn't pay to reach a quarterback. And believe me, I know how important that position is.
Right.
But overdrafting and or overpaying at that valuable position is not going to help your team. And excuse me, I mean, look at Denver Broncos just last year. They had, you know, Peyton Manning at quarterback, who was obviously physically running out of gas, and a raw Brock Osweiler, and they did not get great production from that position, but they had the best defense in football, et cetera, et cetera. They had a good running game, and they won despite it. It's rare, but it can happen. And it just overdrafting and overpaying based on need is not a winning formula.
Nope, never has been.
It really isn't. I'll tell you, seeing a safety go in the top five, you don't see that too often. But I'll tell you, if he's a big playmaker, then it's a good pick. I mean, you know, the Giants got Landon Collins, and he's looking like, you know, they could be. He's still got a long way to go, but you know, in 2 years he's looked so good. Pretty soon, people are going to start mentioning him in the same breath as you know, big playmakers like Ed Reed and Polamalu.
I love Landon Collins, man.
Yeah,
I had
me
him on
too.
a few fantasy teams, man, and he always brought it every week.
Yes.
Oh man, I love that Landon Collins.
He's a big play guy. He's also a tackle guy.
Yep.
They got him in the second round. And, you know, even his rookie year, he didn't play like a rookie. And one of the great cliches is on draft day, teams will, you know, their second round pick, they'll say, oh, we had him rated as a first rounder. And I think he was rated as a first rounder by a lot of people. And, you know, this guy really brings it. I can't say enough things about him. And I learned at a young age about teams drafting for need. I mean, when I was a kid, I was a big Giant fan, and when they drafted Lawrence Taylor, I think he was the number two pick in the draft. They had a lot of other needs, especially on offense, and they had two multiple Pro Bowl linebackers at the time, you know, Harry Carson and Brad Van Pelt. And I'm thinking, what do they need? They already got two great linebackers. What do they need this guy from North Carolina for? But believe me, probably about midway through September, I realized that LT was the real deal, and one of the greatest NFL defensive players of all time.
Changed the game. He changed the game.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
Right.
So, you know, I'll tell you, personally, I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. I think the NFL draft should be abolished. I think the NFL has an antitrust exemption, but who knows? They can get rid of that someday because I'm against it on principle. But, you know, it's been around forever, so people don't question it. But just because something's been around a long time doesn't make it right and doesn't mean you shouldn't question it. Think about it. If when you graduated high school, somebody says, oh, well, Jerry, you got to go work in Minnesota. You say, well, I don't want to work in Minnesota. I want to stay home in near home in New Jersey, or maybe I want to go to Florida or California. They say, no. You want to work, you got to go to Minnesota. What kind of nonsense is that?
What would you have as an alternative?
Well, free agent, but as long as there would most likely be salary cap involved, and I don't think it would be that bad because you could say, oh, well, college players would only want to go with the great teams. But I don't think so because there'd probably be a cap involved. And also a lot of guys would be looking for opportunity, not just to sit on the bench with a great team. I think the draft should be abolished. It's a restraint of free trade. I mean, the thing is, I guess you could say, well, you could play your pro football elsewhere, but there's nowhere else to play football for that kind of money.
Right.
You could, if you sit out for a year, then you become a free agent, but you don't want to sit out a year. And I think the perception of guys like that is very negative. I can't even remember the last time someone did that. I mean, guys could threaten it, but unless there's another league or, you know, you play another sport, you don't have a lot of leverage if you threaten to sit out. But the more I think about it, I mean, I just can't stand the NFL draft. I mean, that's the system we have, and it's going to be that way for the foreseeable future.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I don't think it would be anarchy if they abolished it. And they'd probably have, you know, a cap involved, and teams would have to sign a minimum of X amount of players, and that you can only bring so many guys to camp, which that I don't understand, because they don't have a developmental league, and how do you get to know players for real unless you put them in pads and have them practice for you?
Mm-hmm.
NFL teams used to bring a lot more guys to camp. I think now it might be maybe at most 90, maybe it's 80. They used to easily have intra-squad scrimmages. They can't have that anymore. They don't have enough guys. That's why so many NFL teams work out against other NFL teams during training camp now. There used to be no need for that. Thing is, if you bring more guys to camp, you got to pay them, but they don't get full salary in camp. You know, we're talking, you know, undrafted free agent guys. You know, they're getting, I think, $500 a week. You know, I mean, it would cost the team a few bucks, but relatively speaking, it would not be a big expense just to, you know, see what these guys can do. It's funny. I mean, considering how much they pay to the stars, I mean, I don't know if they were worried about paying too much for training camp. I don't know why they cut the training camp rosters. I have no idea. So
that could have been a CBA type of thing.
Could be, but
yeah,
well,
I think
you
it
know
was.
What I mean?
So.
Yeah. I don't get it. I'm, you know, because you could be missing out on some really good players. You know, like one of those guys who probably now wouldn't get invited to camp was a guy like Drew Pearson, because back then the Cowboys, I think, brought well over 100 guys to camp every year. A lot of them were undrafted free agents from small colleges, like Drew Pearson, who played quarterback at Tulsa. And you know, once they got him in pads and you know and had him playing wide receiver, boom, he became a star player, borderline Hall of Famer. Maybe if he stuck around a little longer, he could have been. But guys like that, you know, now maybe Canada, what's left of the Arena League, that's it. They don't get the camp invitation. So, you know, you could be missing out on some very good talent.
All right, let's move on to the number six pick. And the New York, my former team, the New York number six, because of their stellar record. And their needs are quite naturally, like everybody doesn't know, is a quarterback. First and foremost, they need a quarterback. They need an outside linebacker, and they also need a cornerback. But their biggest need is a quarterback. And I think the Jets can go two different ways here because they have an aging running back oh my God, I can't believe I can't remember his name now. Matt Forte, and a running back that's pretty versatile and below Powell. But there are some, and like I said earlier, when I started this conversation about the draft, I think the draft is strong on running backs, wide receivers, and defensive players in all three levels. So the Jets could either go for a quarterback, but I told you that I don't think there's quarterbacks in this draft that are first round worthy, even though there are going to be quarterbacks taken. They can either go to a running back, someone like Leonard Fournette or Dalvin Smith, or they can go quarterback. For this mock, I'm going to say that the Jets will take a quarterback. And the college football quarterback championship, this guy shone and brought his team back and threw the winning touchdown to make Clemson the college football champion that they are now. And I'm talking about Deshaun Watson from Clemson. He isn't the second best quarterback in his class, but he's got very high character, in my opinion, and he may be able to flourish with the Jets. Quite naturally, most people who are Jet fans know that they're not bringing back Ryan Fitzpatrick. So it's Christian Hackenberg, Bryce Petty, and whoever they draft, it's going to be the competition for who starts in the quarterback, and quite naturally, Geno Smith. So that's four quarterbacks. They carried four quarterbacks last year. I don't know if they're going to do it for a second year, but I think they're going to try to bring in a young quarterback in there and Deshaun Jackson, Deshaun Watson, and I think he'd be the sixth pick for the Jets in this draft. Going to the seventh pick, which would be the Los Angeles Chargers, who had a disappointing season and are moving to Los Angeles versus always for the last forever was considered the San Diego Chargers, and now they're going to be the L.A. Chargers. They need help on the offensive line, specifically the offensive tackle. They need help in the backside of the defense as in a safety and a wide receiver. Now, they have had capable wide receivers, Keenan Allen and the like, but those wide receivers, for whatever reason, can't seem to stay healthy. I don't know if it's a cloud over the wide receiver room in San Diego, but it seems like every year they draft the same type of wide receiver, and it's a speed guy, but a guy that doesn't have, for lack of a better word, too much meat on his bones, and he tend to be a little fragile. But I don't think they go that way in wide receiver or offensive tackle. I think for the second time in this draft, early in the draft, I think they go to a safety, Malik Hooker. It's a passing league. You got Denver that's going to be passing the ball in this. You got the Oakland, and you also have the Kansas City Chiefs. Even though Kansas City and Denver are more of a running team, you still need somebody in the back end besides being a run support in as a safety. You need somebody in the back end that can defend being a safety also, and I think they go that in. The Carolina Panthers, season ago, 2016, were in the Super Bowl. Not in the Super Bowl this year. They're the eighth pick in this NFL draft. And they need an offensive line because Cam Newton was running for his life, getting beat up. They need a pass rusher. They need a pass rusher. They didn't have a strong pass rush. And in a league that had Jameis Winston, Drew Brees, and Matt Ryan, you definitely need a pass rusher, and the other weakness that they have and needed to have is a cornerback. I don't think they go that way. I think they go because their running back core is getting older and not as efficient as it was in the past. And I think they go to a running back. Same state. He just moves over. Not same state. Same part of the region. But moving up from Florida. I'm talking about Dalvin Cook, who's from Florida State, to the Carolina Panthers, because Ron Rivera likes to run the football first and foremost. The ninth pick is the Cincinnati Bengals, another team that took a downturn this year and now has a ninth pick. They need offensive line help, linebacker help, and pass rusher. And like I said, this draft, in my opinion, is weak on offensive line help and the quarterback. Now, I've already had two quarterbacks taken in the first round, but it's not going to be here. Cincinnati needs a pass rusher. I think they go to the University of Michigan and pick up a guy called Taco Charlton, a defensive end, that can help with the pass rush and in a league that has Ben Roethlisberger and Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco is not a big passing guy, but you need a pass rush in this type of environment that we're dealing with within the NFL in defending against the pass. And Charlton would be a good pickup. And to round out the 10th, pick, which is from the Buffalo Bills, who had a disappointing season, and Rex Ryan paid the price for that. They need offensive tackle, safety, quarterback, and wide receiver. Now they still do have Tyrod Taylor, that I guess they're still up in the air about. And some people in some circles are saying that Cardale Jones can take over the starting quarterback role. I don't know about that, but I think they go offensive tackle. I know I said it's weakness in this draft. I still believe that, but I think that's where they go. I don't think there's anybody worthy of a quarterback or wide receiver this early, number 10. I didn't just say worthy, but I don't think they go with wide receiver. Now, I could be wrong. This is just still, this is February. We got all the way up until April that I may change this. But for now, I think they take an offensive tackle from University of Wisconsin, who are known for offensive linemen, Ryan Ramczyk, an offensive tackle out of Wisconsin. All right, Jeff, I'm gonna tax you now because I don't think you know some of these guys. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, you're right. I'll tell you, Wisconsin has produced some excellent offensive linemen, and one of them is currently standout for the Dallas Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some programs do produce certain positions,
yep.
but you don't want to overemphasize it because once in a while, I think, you know, like when I was a kid, you know, some teams would just assume every linebacker from Penn State was going to be a great NFL
right.
player, and that was not always the case. So
mm-hmm.
you have to judge players based on their own merit. And I guess the flip side of that is the same program, a very good program, University of Wisconsin, had some running backs who disappointed in the NFL. So
exactly.
people painted Melvin Gordon with that brush. Well, you know what? He has a much different style than guys like P.J. Hill and Ron Dayne and those guys.
Mm-hmm.
And people were also too quick to label him as a failure after one disappointing season. I mean, running backs frequently can't excel in their first year, but that does not always happen. But just people were talking about some kind of Wisconsin running back curse, and that was not accurate at all. But you know, when Dallas was putting together that line, I think people always expect excitement from a team owned by Jerry Jones on draft day, and they invested a lot of high picks in the offensive line, and I couldn't believe they were getting criticism for it. It's like, hey, that's the real meat and potatoes way to build your team. And it really is. You know, you put together a great line, it can make average quarterbacks and running backs look terrific. And believe me, it definitely paid off for Dallas. You know, the thing is, the NFL, the whole thing about the draft is very strange. And then, you know, the combine, you know, the underwear Olympics, you know, that's also yeah. strange. But, you know, I guess the purpose, I mean, there obviously is a need for the combine, and there is game film, but it's not NFL game film, and guys played against various levels of competition. And some of it is a, you know, like a job market. You know, it's an opportunity, convenient opportunity for teams to interview a lot of players. There have been guys, you know, the workout warriors whose status skyrocketed after the combine. But I don't think that happens a lot. It's just a good opportunity for guys to show what they got. Maybe if they're coming off an injury, they could show that they're healthy. You know, if they've had an issue or two, it gives them a chance to talk face-to-face and address that with teams. But if you look at it from the outside, the combine is a very strange thing.
Okay. So to round off the top 10 picks, number 6 is Deshaun Watson from the University of Clemson. Number 7 would be the Los Angeles Chargers pick Malik Hooker, a safety from Ohio State. Number eight would be the Carolina Panthers, who take Dalvin Cook, running back from Florida State. Number nine would be the Cincinnati Bengals, who take a defensive end from Michigan called Taco Charlton. And the last pick, not last pick, but the 10th pick, who is the Buffalo Bills, would be a offensive lineman, specifically an offensive tackle from Wisconsin, Ryan Ramczyk. All right, that's enough time that we have. That's the time we have for the master plan on Sunday. Before I close this show out and we get out of here, tune in next week, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'll be holding it down here, talking about the week in sports. I am JT, a.k.a. the Master. I got my co-host on Thursday. We'll be coming back on Thursday with the FSP Crew Show, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We will be there. We'll be holding it down. When I say we, it's me and Jeff. Before I leave out of here, I got to get Jeff the same opportunity I give him on Thursday of his final thoughts. Jeff, what's your final thoughts before we get out of here?
It's been a pleasure. Tune in again. There was something I was going to bring up, but you got to tune in on Thursday to hear it.
All right, Jeff. Well, tune on Thursday. We'll be here 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Thursday night. That being said, I'm just going to drop the mic and end the episode. See ya.